Joshua chapter 1. I'll read the first 9 verses again. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Father, how much we need the encouragement and the strengthening that you offer Joshua in these verses 3,500 years ago. I pray, Father, as we meditate on the record that you have given us of this special encouragement, that you would encourage us as well. Help us, Lord, to be better fit, both for our service to one another and for our duty toward you as our Heavenly Father. I commit this study to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Okay, the first 5 chapters of Joshua are concerned with preparation for invading the land. The actual war of conquest doesn't begin until chapter 6. The first 5 chapters of preparation, and chapter 1 is the commissioning of Joshua. Up until this point, the nation Israel has been led by Moses. But at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses goes up into Mount Nebo, and the Lord takes him. And now, Joshua picks up after the death of Moses. So the Lord is going to commission someone else, Joshua. He's been prepared, as we contemplated in previous weeks, and now the Lord is going to give him a charge, verses 1 through 9. Then, in verses 10 through 15, Joshua turns and addresses the people, and he gives them a charge. First, the Lord charges him, he then charges the people, and in verses 16 to 18, the people respond and accept Joshua as the one the Lord has designated to guide them into the land of promise. Now, I said last time that there are 2 major instructions in what the Lord gives Joshua. 2 major themes. One with a horizontal emphasis, the other with a vertical emphasis. These types of things often go together in Scripture. The horizontal emphasis deals with Joshua's relationship toward other people, toward the children of Israel, for whom he now has special responsibility, and toward the Canaanites, the nations that he is to displace. And that responsibility, as we have seen, is summed up in verse 2. Go over this Jordan unto the land that I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. You go, take possession of the land. That means you're going to dispossess the Canaanites, you're going to put the Canaanites out, and you're going to divide the land to the children of Israel for their inheritance. The vertical commandment, the one that deals with Joshua's relationship to God, you find in verses 7, 8. Be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right to the left, right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night. Joshua, you be preoccupied with my word. You be preoccupied with my law. Don't deviate from it. Know it. Meditate in it day and night. That's the vertical command. What struck me as I meditated on these verses was that both the horizontal command and the vertical command are summed up in the exhortation, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. This business about getting the land and parceling it out to the children of Israel, that's going to take some strength and some courage. You be strong and have good courage. You have some of the nations coming to you saying, well, I don't want this piece, I want that piece over there. You gave him a bigger piece of land than you gave me. He has nicer springs than I have. I like his woods better than my woods, you know. Any of you who are parents and have more than one child can understand the kind of things that Joshua may have had to cope with the sons of Israel in dividing the land. The Lord says to him, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Not only do you have to conquer the Canaanites, you've got to divide the land. Be strong and of good courage for your horizontal duty, your duty toward other men. But then immediately in verse 7, he uses the same two words to say, be strong and of a good courage, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. It's also going to take strength and courage for you to behave appropriately toward God. That's not going to come easily either. You need strength and courage to conduct yourself with other people as you ought to, and to conduct yourself toward God as you ought to. And in fact, in verse 9, he sums up the entire charge, horizontal and vertical. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Well, this is a very important command, clearly. It permeates this section, and it's not the only place in the scriptures that it's used. So I thought it might be well to spend some time meditating on this encouragement to be strong and of a good courage. The two words, two different words, and they have slightly different emphases. Think first of all about this word, to be strong. The word occurs in an unfavorable sense quite often in Scripture when it says that somebody has a hard heart, like a Pharaoh with a hard heart, or the children of Israel in the monarchy, their hearts were hardened, they had hardness of heart. Now, what the Scriptures mean when they say that someone has hardness of heart is that they won't turn. They've got their intent is to disobey God. They're going to go right on ahead doing what they want to do no matter what God says. They're like a horse that's taken the bridle in its teeth. They're like an automobile whose steering is locked up. You can't turn them from one side to the other. They're going to go on just in their evil way, and they're going to run straight into judgment. That's what hardness or strongness, literally strongness of heart, means. Here the word is used in a good sense, but I think the bad sense gives us a clue as to what's intended. What God is exhorting Joshua to do is to be steadfast, to be focused on his purpose, not to waver. He's not saying to Joshua, I want you to go to the gym and pump iron every day. Be strong, Joshua. Get those biceps in shape. Stretch out those abductor muscles and those adductor muscles and all those other muscles that only the bodybuilders know about and the rest of us just take for granted. He's not telling Joshua to go out and get physically fit. That's not what he's saying. He's not talking about physical strength. He's talking about spiritual strength, about steadfastness of purpose, about clarity of resolve. He's saying, don't let anyone turn you aside. The weakness that is being addressed here is the weakness of uncertainty. And it's a weakness that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when the serpent said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." Did God really say that? Maybe that's not what he meant. And he put a little bit of doubt in Eve's mind. And that led then to the failure of our first parents in Eden. It's something that, as my own experience through seminary, through professional training, I realize what a devastating thing this can be, because often the academic study of God's Word, it does not lead to certainty. It does not increase your steadfastness of purpose. What it tends to do is raise more questions than it answers, as any academic study does. That's how academics make their living, by raising more questions than they can answer. And when you apply that approach to God's Word, it leads to uncertainty, to indecision, to lack of definiteness. Now, I'm not saying that people should be ignorant and ignorantly dogmatic, but I am saying that each one of us needs to be confident in our handling of God's will, our relationship to His Spirit. You need to be secure enough in your knowledge of the Scriptures and in your personal fellowship to God that you can take up a question, search it out, discern the mind of God, and then go forward confidently, strongly. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't change your opinion if somebody gave you good and sufficient reasons from the Scripture. You're like the Bereans, searching the Scriptures, receiving what you hear with all readiness of mind, and then searching the Scriptures daily whether these things are so. And when you search it, be comfortable, be confident, be strong in what God shows you. So the first word, be strong, addresses this issue of constancy of purpose, not being indecisive or uncertain and saying, well, Dr. So-and-so says this and Reverend So-and-so says that, and this commentator up here said the, I don't know which way to go. Everything's all spinning around. Those of you that have been in a number of churches may have heard the expression, well, great men of God differ on this point, and therefore we ought not to hold anything too deeply here. Well, I have news for you. There is no question in the Christian life on which great men of God have not differed. And if the differences of opinion of great men of God is a reason to be uncertain and wavering in our conduct toward the Lord, you know what? You're going to be a spiritual paralytic. You're going to sit in your chair and never do anything, because there is no question on which there have not been differences of opinion. That's God's problem. If He leads some of His people in one direction and some in another direction, that's His problem. You have to walk upright before the Lord yourself. You have to know His Word. You have to know the voice of His Spirit directing you, and you have to walk in confidence. Be strong, Joshua. Don't be uncertain. Don't let Satan or his servants put this little bug in your ear. Yay, hath God said. Go away, Satan. If we could hear the voice of the Spirit half as clearly as we can hear the voice of Satan sometimes, we'd be in great shape. Now, how about this other word? Be of good courage. Amatz. Be strong and of a good courage. This word talks about the willingness and the fortitude to suffer affliction. This is courage as opposed to fear. The first is strength as opposed to uncertainty. That's be strong. Be of good courage is courage as opposed to fear. It answers the weakness of, oh, I want to be comfortable, I don't want to hurt, golly, I can't take the pain, and so I'm going to take the easy way, I'll take the way that is comfortable. And the Lord says to Joshua, be of good courage, Joshua. Not everything I'm going to ask you to do is going to be easy. But you grow up now, and you be like the weaned child in the psalm, that's able to take a certain measure of discomfort, knowing that it's for God's purposes. I think of our Lord's example as recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That was courage, in the sense of be of good courage. We look ahead to the joy that God has, and okay, so we have to go through something unpleasant. That's the way the world is. One of the farmers at the Ann Arbor Farmers Market, older man, has the most wonderful hat. It's a baseball hat. It's got a motto written across the front of the hat. I love this hat. The hat says, life is unfair, but God is good. Yeah, life is unfair. Okay, it is. bad stuff happens. This is the way the world is. Not surprising. The world's under the prince of this world, the power of the air. Satan has been given dominion over this world for a time, and we should not be surprised that life is unfair and sometimes painful. That's the way it is. But God is good. He is faithful. He will not forsake His own. And the joy that He has put before us is far greater than the pain. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians of this light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more enduring weight of glory. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. They're going to pass away. All the glory of them, and all the pain, and all the suffering. The things that are not seen, that God has promised us in heaven, are eternal. Be of good courage, Joshua. Don't mind an occasional little bump here, a little bruise here. They are insignificant compared to the blessings that I have for you. So when God encourages Joshua, He's encouraging him along these two lines. First, be strong, Joshua. Don't be uncertain. Don't yield to the temptation to say, well, I'm not sure whether this is exactly right or whether that's exactly right. That will paralyze you. You learn to know God's word and to spend time with Him so you recognize His voice, so you can tell where He's leading you. And then be strong. And be of good courage. When you discover that the way He's leading you may have a few thorns along the way, may have a few stones in the path, don't be discouraged and turn around. You be of good courage. You keep on going. I've mentioned this is not the only place this expression is used. It's used when Moses tells Israel that he is departing in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In fact, let's maybe want to take a look at these just to see how prevalent this expression is. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Verse 2, he says, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Then you have it all over Joshua chapter 1, as I've showed you. Joshua chapter 10, verse 25. After the defeat of the southern kings, the southern campaign, Joshua says to the people, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, Israel's being attacked by the Assyrians. And Hezekiah, the king, is addressing the people at this terrible time of testing. And he says to the people, 2 Chronicles 32, 7, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. So here are cases where the leaders tell the people, be strong and of a good courage. It's also the case that the leader will often tell his successor to be strong and of a good courage. This is what David says to Solomon. You're in Chronicles. Look at 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 13. David is charging Solomon. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Or in chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles, again, David, concerning the temple, says to Solomon, 28:20, 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And in fact, this is how Moses charged Joshua in Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and of a good courage. It is in fact what God told Moses to do toward Joshua. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Deuteronomy 3, verse 8. 3:28. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. God has told Moses that he must die, but he also tells him, you charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. Well, encourage and strengthen. Be strong and of a good courage. Same, two words in the opposite order. You encourage him and you strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So Moses is a leader, and David is a leader, encouraging and strengthening their successors, Joshua and Solomon. The leaders speak to the people and encourage them. But it's not just a downhill kind of a thing. And of course, the Lord encourages Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. But look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 18. This is without parallel in the scriptures, this instance. Because here the people encourage their leader. Joshua 1:18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. This is the people speaking to Joshua. The New Testament picks up this line of teaching about our encouragement of one another with a word that is variously translated. Sometimes it is translated exhort, sometimes encourage, sometimes comfort. In fact, the New Testament word is the one from which the Lord names the Holy Spirit in the Upper Room Discourse. He calls him the Comforter, because the Spirit is the one who has this ministry of encouraging and strengthening us. But he often does it through us. We are his channels, and we need to say to one another, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Just as Moses did to Joshua, and the Lord did to Joshua, and the people did to Joshua, and Joshua did to the people. You read these verses and you get the feeling that this is sort of the standard conversation in Israel. Be strong and of good courage. That should be our encouragement for one another regularly. We need this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Life is unfair, but God is good. We need to be reminding each other of this. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Brothers, when you share scripture with God's people, here's what you should be doing. You should be encouraging them, edifying them, exhorting them, comforting them, helping them to deal with the uncertainties and pains of the world in which we live. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Paul describes his experience in dealing with the Thessalonians when he was among them. He says, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Just as Moses did with Joshua, so Paul was doing this with the Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 14. We exhort you, brethren, speaking now to the elders in the assembly, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the chapter which describes our Lord's suffering and the joy that was set before him, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Look around yourself. Look around the believers in the assembly. Look around the members of your family. Look around your associates and other environments. You'll find lots of people with feeble knees and weak hands that need encouragement, that need comfort, that need someone to remind them, be strong and of a good courage. God hasn't failed you. He's still there. He'll stand by you. We need this from one another as a church family. And we need to be, as the salt of the earth, spreading this message to those around us. Well, that's the first command, Joshua chapter 1. It's a horizontal command. Joshua, you're going to lead this people. You're going to give them the land that I promised to their forefathers. You be strong and of a good courage. Easy to understand why that's the case. You're going to be fighting the Canaanites. You're going to have to divide the land among a bunch of siblings. You're going to need the wisdom of Solomon in dealing with these kids that are going to be squabbling over who gets the bigger piece of cake. But there's a second command. It's a vertical command, and that one will also require strength and courage. And so in verse 7, he repeats these two instructions. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Why would you need courage and strength? in observing to do according to all the law that Moses commanded him? Well, there might be uncertainty. In conquering the land, there might be uncertainty. You know, should we really be killing off all of these Canaanites? God, shouldn't we leave just a few alive? Wouldn't that be more loving toward them? But also in obeying God's law, think of the uncertainty that we're faced with. We talk to our Christian friends from other gatherings, and they say, well, Dr. So-and-so says this, or Reverend So-and-so says that, or I read this book by some famous writer, and he said the other thing, and so I don't know what to believe, and I guess it doesn't really matter. No, you be strong. You know God's word. You figure it out, and you learn what it is to speak to Him and to sense His Spirit's voice, and then you be steadfast and strong in that. And you be of a good courage. Because in today's society, if you walk in obedience to God's law, people are going to make fun of you. They're going to mock you. They're going to call you names. Be of good courage. Recognize that this light affliction is but for a moment. We'll get into the details in the second half of chapter 7. And here we have two cycles of command followed by promise. Command followed by promise. The first command, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. This, I think, is picking up on the idea of be strong, be steadfast. You hold the course. Don't turn to the right hand, don't turn to the left hand. You go straight ahead. And the promise is that thou mayest prosper with us whoever thou goest. If you are steadfast like this, you will prosper. You'll do well. And then in verse 8, the second command, which I think relates to being of good courage. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here he's talking about their daily subjective interaction with the Word of God. They are to meditate in it constantly. You spend your time focusing your mind on the Word of God and meditating on it. It's going to shape your thoughts and your feelings. It's going to shape your desires. It will give you the courage you need to stand up for the Lord in the midst of an unbelieving world. If you don't do that, if you're not faithful in spending time with God's Word and with Him in prayer, meditating on it, then you're not going to have the courage that you need. You're going to be dismayed and you're going to be turned aside. I would challenge you, everyone here claims to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, for 1 week, you mark down how much time you spend with the Lord in the Scriptures, how much time you spend sitting in front of a television. You see which of those numbers is bigger. Or maybe television isn't your particular vice. Maybe it's reading the newspaper. Okay, that'll do too. You just... For a week, how much of your mental effort, how much of the time do you spend submitting your mind to God's Spirit through His Word? And how much of it do you spend submitting your mind to the influences of Satan through the world around you? And I don't think there's any of us in this room, if we did that, that would come out with numbers that we'd be very proud of. But here's the instruction right here. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. You meditate in it day and night. This is the most important book that you have, the most important exercise that you have for your mind, is to meditate on the Word of God, to know it thoroughly. And once again, if you do that, what's the promise? The end of verse 8, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. For those of you that have a full King James, including the marginal notes, take a look at the marginal rendering of good success in verse 8 or prosper in verse 7. We've got a marginal translation there, which is a little bit more literal than the authorized version. The translators didn't want to lose this, so they put it in the margin. What's the marginal translation of prosper in verse 7 or good success in verse 8? Do wisely. Do wisely. Attention to God's Word and submission to it is the first step in wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Solomon said. Good understanding have all those that keep His commandments. And that goes right back here to the Lord's injunction to Joshua. Joshua, you pay attention to my word. You submit yourself to it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. You be steadfast. You be courageous. Saturate your mind with it. And then, you know what? You will behave yourself wisely. You will behave yourself according to the true wisdom, according to God's wisdom. So the two commands. The first command is a horizontal one. Joshua, cross the Jordan, conquer the Canaanites, divide the land of the children of Israel. Big job, Lord. That's okay. Be strong and have a good courage. Second command, a vertical command toward God. Don't deviate from my word. Know it. Meditate on it. Live according to it. That's a tall order, Lord. I know. Be strong and have a good courage. Steadfastness and courage, both for our duty horizontally toward our fellow men and vertically in our duty toward God. And so it's not surprising that in verse 9, the Lord summarizes the entire charge using once again these same words. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. As you do these things, realize you're not alone. You have the Lord's presence with you to uphold you day by day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the encouragement and the strength that you offer us through your word. Lord, you're mindful of our weaknesses. We thank you for condescending to them by giving this very, very specific and very practical encouragement. And we pray that you'd help each one of us to give heed to your gentle voice, encouraging us to steadfastness and to perseverance in the face of opposition. Father, all around us there are enemies that would turn us aside from our duty to our fellow man and from our duty to you. And we know that we can only be strong to serve you if we are faithful in meditating on your word. We pray that you'd help us to devote ourselves to the study and meditation of Scripture, to prayer, to fellowship with you, so that we might enjoy these wonderful blessings that you offered to Joshua of daily strength and courage. We commit ourselves to you now in the Lord Jesus' name. Why don't we close with the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, as we think about all the turmoil going on around us, and we can still have confidence in the Lord. Thou hast taught me to say, It is well with my soul. 271, let's stand and sing that as our closing hymn. 271.